You're listening to a Crime Friction Extra. I was waiting for a joke to come in then, but I forgot. I'm all on my own today. Okay then, this is just a small bonus episode. I say small, I have no idea how long this is going to be, I'm making it up. Okay, so in episode 6, I forgot to turn my phone off, I'm a professional. In episode 6, we had a Puppy PI segment where we got some really good expert live readers in to tell us how to do live readings, tips, advice, recipes, that kind of thing. But I got a bit pretentious with the editing. And I trimmed everything down and made it sound like one flowing, cool conversation like you'd hear on jazz radio or something like that. I never actually listened to jazz radio. I assume that's what it sounds like. So we wanted to put out a bonus episode here with everyone's clips just as they were sent in, because they gave us some really good advice and it didn't all make it onto the show. So these are just the full unedited clips that were sent in to us by our authors. And I'll hand you over to them with thanks to SJ Roseanne, Alex Segura of TV Deal fame, whose book drops this week, Jedediah Ayres, and Josh Starlings.
Hi, I'm SJ Roseanne. I'm the author of 15 novels, 2 more on the way, and about 75 short stories. I do a lot of teaching, speaking, and reading, and I've been asked to talk about what makes a good reading. The first thing I want to say should be obvious, but it often isn't. Pick something to read that is engaging to hear. This is not necessarily the beginning of your book. It's not necessarily an action scene, but it's something that brings people in, that makes people think, oh, I really want to read the book that's from. If you have 5 pages of exposition at your beginning, don't read them. I'm not sure why you have 5 pages of exposition, but in any case, don't choose that. Don't choose something, on the other hand, that needs a lot of setup. There is nothing more boring at a reading than the writer going on for 3 or 4 minutes about who the characters are that we're about to hear about. And don't pick something, by the way, with too many characters in it. A couple of characters or one character doing something, that's a good piece to be reading from. The next thing is about the reading itself. Be an engaging reader. How do you do this? Well, for one thing, once you've picked your piece, practice it. Read it over and over and over the way you're going to read it at your public reading. Read it so often the cat gets sick of it and leaves the room. Make sure you know where the phrases and words are that you're going to stumble over. The stuff that looks good on the page, but it just doesn't come out of your mouth right, and change it. Put in new words. I swear your readers will not know when they get there that they're reading words that are a little different from the ones that they heard out loud. And practice it the way it's going to be read, which is how? Well, for one thing, loud and slow. Loudly and slowly. I personally keep time with my foot. It's a slow, steady tap. It just keeps me in the same rhythm all the time. If you don't want to do this, that's fine. I didn't know I did it for a long time. But your reading should be loud and more slow than you think you need to read. Don't mumble. Don't read in a monotone like that. Look up, make occasional eye contact with your audience. Don't read in a monotone, but don't act out either. Don't emote, don't yell, don't scream. That's also very off-putting. Just read. Also, stick to your time. If you're asked for 15 or 20 minutes, read for 15 or 20 minutes. If you're on a panel with other writers, find out how long everybody's reading. Read that length. Don't go over your time. Leave them wanting more. Always. How do you know how long your piece is? Well, you practiced it, and you practiced it with a stopwatch. And if the piece that you want to read is too long, then read a different piece or cut it. Those are the basic rules, I think, of what makes a good reading. The one other thing I want to throw in is that know who your audience is. If there are children there, don't read that piece that you have that uses the F-bomb every two words. Know who's coming. If your mother's there, you might not want to read a piece where somebody's mother is acting like a total idiot. Know your audience. Also, remember this about your audience. They came to have a good time. They want you to succeed. The critics aren't there. The critics will be reading your book and saying nasty things about it on Amazon because that's what they do. But they didn't come to your reading. Your friends came to your reading. Your fans came to your reading. The people who are curious came to your reading. They want to have a good time. Give them a good time. And you'll have a good time too. And you'll sell a lot of books. S.J. Roseanne, signing off.
Hey, this is Alex Agoura. I'm the author of the Pete Fernandez Miami Mystery Series. The latest installment of that series, Blackout, hits May 8th from Polis Books. I hope you take a minute to check it out. Big thanks to Chantel and Jay for inviting me onto their podcast to hog some of their airtime. And they asked me, and I'm here, to talk to you about live readings, the deceptive art of live readings. I call it that because reading your work is not as easy as you think, surprisingly. Now, I'm not an expert. I've done my fair share of events that require you to read your own work aloud. Noir at the bars, book events, panels, stuff like that. You know, I think reading in front of people can be tough and stressful, but it's also the kind of thing you can get better at much faster than you think and go from really bad to not terrible with just a few minor tweaks. So help me help you. First up, practice. Yes. Before the event. Take some time to read whatever piece of your work you selected. Why? Well, from a logistical standpoint, you can time yourself and you can make sure what you plan to read doesn't go over the limit you were given by the organizers. Often at events, you know, the people putting the stuff together will say 8 to 10 minutes. I always shoot for under the limit. Yes, you should read less than you're asked. Leave people wanting more. The last thing you want to do is be the guy who goes way over and you look up and you see people staring into their empty drink glasses. You just don't want to be remembered as the one who dragged it all down. You want to be remembered for what you read, and you want to leave people curious to read more, which will hopefully lead them to buy your book. Practice is also really helpful when it sounds like you care. And by care, I mean you're reading like you care. If you ever listen to audiobooks, and if you don't, you should, a good narrator can make or break the experience. Good narrators vary their voice, they know when to emphasize, they know when to overdo it and underdo it. And you know, if you notice, they don't just do it in a flat monotone. So when you're reading your material, treat it like you're recording the audiobook. Read like you mean it, like you care. It's supposed to be dramatic, but not high school talent show dramatic. I leave it to you to determine what that difference is. Also speak up and slow down. Make sure you're speaking into the mic. If there is no mic, make sure you're speaking loud enough to be heard in the back of the room. And do your best not to rush through what you're reading. See what I did there? I was almost rushing through my own monologue. Authors tend to speed up when reading in public because we're nervous. We're not used to talking in front of a lot of people. We're used to sitting in our offices or alone somewhere typing away. So take a deep breath, get yourself together, and read your selection at a normal pace and at a good volume so people can hear you. One really important thing is to not over-explain. Do not over-explain what you're about to read. If you find you're spending a few minutes setting up what you're going to read, you're spending a few minutes too long. So the sequence you should read should stand alone and be completely independent of any description. I mean, obviously you're going to have to intro it to some degree. I usually read from a book, so I give a very tight, high concept of who Pete is and nothing longer than the back cover copy, which shouldn't break 30 to 45 seconds. Anything more gets boring and honestly eats up time. And if you're not counting that as part of your time, then you're doing a disservice to the other readers. Speaking of doing a disservice to the other readers, do not hog the mic. You're sharing the stage with other people. Most of these events are group events. You get 10 to 15 minutes to talk up your book, read about your book, and give your spiel. And that's it. Don't be the guy that tries to make the other readers into his backing band. You know, you don't want to make it seem like you're trying to hog the mic any more than you should. Obviously, this is a publicity opportunity. It's a chance to do marketing and promote yourself, but use restraint. So to reiterate, you're sharing the stage. Pick a scene or chapter that stands on its own, is compelling, and doesn't require a degree to engage with. And it doesn't need a 10-minute intro. Find something that's funny, memorable, and dramatic. Two out of the three, at least. Because the best thing you can do at a reading is have an emotional reaction from the audience. You know, have them laugh, have them gasp, have them engage with what you're doing. You're reading so someone in attendance leaves the event and thinks, damn, I really need to pick up that author's book. That's the ideal scenario. And if you get one person at one of these small events to leave with that in mind, or ideally pick up the book at the event, it was worth your hour, couple hours. Look at the audience. How can I do that when I'm reading, you ask? Well, that's where the practice comes in. If you're familiar with what you're reading, you'll know when to look up. You know, make eye contact. Don't have to do it for too long. Look up for a second. It just shows that you know your own material and you're confident in how you're reading. And it gives your reader, it gives your reading a brief pause, especially at major moments. If you need a trick, and this is something I use, I usually pause at the beginning of a paragraph. That way it's much easier for me to just be able to hop back in without losing much. And, you know, last but certainly not least, be grateful. Always thank the host, thank the venue, thank the audience. They're why you're even there in the first place. And they're the ones that are going to either buy your book or invite you back. And something that is kind of a good rule for life, have fun. I mean, this is a cool opportunity. You're getting to read your work in front of other people. You're getting to hang out with other authors. Obviously, let them know how important it is to you so it can be important for them too. That's all I got. Thanks so much for your time and keep listening.
Hi, I'm Jedediah Ayers. I'm the host of Noir at the Bar in St. Louis and the author of Peckerwood, among other titles. As a host of Noir at the Bar, and one of the most important things I've come to find is that nobody knows who you are. They're there to be entertained. Don't assume people know who you are. Don't assume they're familiar with your work. You know, we have the amateurs show up, the big boys, a lot, and that's great. Also, as a host, I have been nervous a few times that somebody, I know their name, I know their work a little bit. I don't really know their personality. Sometimes I'm meeting them for the first time, these readers, and I'm a little nervous that they may be too provocative. They may go over the line. I've had a couple readers who were very obviously high or really shit-faced. I was a little concerned about how that would go. However, I have been nervous far more often and with far more reason about people I thought would be dull, would not be entertaining. Even the best reader can go on too long. Keep it short, keep it punchy, end on a big note, and leave a big impression. To that end, I would say big ideas and outrageous plot, that's what really communicates to a live audience. Think of it as a performance, like a theatrical performance where you're performing for the back of the house. You want everybody to get the effect of what you're saying, versus, say, someone reading at home where they can really spend a lot of time concentrating on your beautiful prose. That's more like film acting, you know. It's the eye quiver. Don't worry about that in a live performance. Go with big ideas. And then as a reader, I almost never decide what I'm going to read until I'm actually up reading it. I have at least two options going. And that's because I want to know the context in which I'm performing. If everybody reading before me has one tone, I'll kind of go the opposite because I want to stand out, but also because I want the audience to be able to change gears a little bit. So if everybody before me is funny, I'll be brutal and vice versa. If everybody before me is reverential, you know, they're reading something very solemn, I'll take the piss.
I'm Josh Dallings, crime writer. My books include the Moses McGuire trilogy and my disco heist novel, Young Americans. I'm in my lair, 6,000 feet up a mountain in the wilds of Southern California. A great live reading is when the author connects with the audience, doesn't bury their head in the text, makes some eye contact, tells me a story. It should feel like hanging out in a bar or a coffee shop and hearing the greatest tale ever told, not like being read to. Okay, for group readings, common wisdom when doing a group reading is keep it fast and funny. Bullshit. I mean, really, okay, fast, yes. 3 or 4 minutes tops, and one event in the story. You know, think of it like a short story. Cardinal sin is to bore the listeners. I edit my book material so it works for readings. Now, as for funny, yes, do be funny, except when you don't. You see, surprise the audience. If there are three comic Johnny Shaw style gut rippers before you, drop in a dramatic tale, like the one I wrote for Jay's Replacement Anthology, about a mother cleaning the blood splatters from the walls that were left by her son shooting dope. Yeah, real grim, but that's the point, see? It's all about rhythm, peaks and valleys. If other readers go brutal, like Tom Pitts reading about a .45 caliber enema, drop in a sweet, light comedy piece. Okay, now here are some tips for the dyslexics. Dyslexic to dyslexic. The rest of y'all, go grab a beer, watch TV for a minute, whatever you do. Okay, are they gone? Dyslexics here. The audience hasn't read your piece. So if you fumble a word or lose your place, ad lib. I mean, that is, make shit up. You will get back to the text, and no one will be the wiser. Own it. You wrote it. Stand up there. Don't pre-qualify about how you suck at reading. Take the stage like J fucking Z, and don't stop until you drop the mic.
Okay, that was brilliant. Thanks to the authors, to S.J. Roseanne, to Alex Segura, to Jedediah Ayres, and to Josh Stallings, who just broke the microphone. I have some advice here from Alex that says I need to be humble and grateful and to thank the audience, so thanks to you guys. And while we're on the subject, Alex's new book, Blackout, the latest in the Pete Fernandez mystery series, drops today, May 8th. And Alex is hosting a Noir at the Bar in Queens at the Queens Bookshop on June the 8th, which is kind of why we put this whole package together. And one quick exclusive for you, Noir at the Bar Glasgow returns on June 20th. We have Mark Bellingham, we have Steve Kavanagh, we have Mr. Johnny Shaw, and more names to be announced soon.